Hello and welcome to P4A's Let's Talk Rare, a monthly podcast from Partners for Access.
Bringing you the most important news, trends and discoveries in the world of orphan drugs and cell and gene therapy.
Join me, Georgie Rack.
And me, Owen Bryant.
To analyse these developments and what they mean to you.
So the EPA conference is underway. We've just started and as you can probably hear, there's a lot of hubbub. Voices going on at the moment, so we're going to be recording some things soon. We just wanted to set the scene, get you a bit of the atmosphere and the vibe. It's the first day of the EPA conference and it's about 10 o'clock. It started in full. A lot of people were here and P4A certainly are here in full effect. We've got Pina, Fizz, Georgie, Joanna, Sophie and myself, Owen, and we're having a fantastic time. Loads of business going down and we're going to give you a flavour of the conference throughout a few days, what goes on at the conference, who speaks, what happens, to give you a bit of a flavour if you've never been or if you fancy coming to one day yourselves. So yeah, we'll be filling you in, but this is a video diary excerpt one. So the EPA conference is now about 5 hours old, it's 2:30 and we're currently just about to start all the round table discussions. So what happens now is people gently fritter away, leaving their booths and their networking with other colleagues and taking to the round tables where they'll be involved in a variety of debates, asking questions and a really interactive forum for feedback and discussions. So my colleagues have visited that. I'm sitting at the booth, looking forward to meeting some more people. And we'll keep you posted on some more developments as they come. It's the second day of the EPA conference. I've had a great first day. I'm sitting next to Georgie. And how do you feel it's gone so far, Georgie?
It's been absolutely amazing, Owen. We've had a really, really good time. There's been a great turnout. We're right next to the coffee booth, which is well needed because we are absolutely exhausted. We had a great time in Amsterdam, went out last night, got some really good food. And yeah, just really, really enjoying it and looking forward to meeting some new people today.
We've got quite a few sessions that we're planning on attending and we'd like to bring you some sound bites and session updates from those. So we'll be looking forward to bringing them to you later. So keep your eyes posted.
Firstly, we are joined by Max Rex. Max is a manager at Embeo and has just presented on moving beyond orphan, can we realise sustainable access to cell and gene therapies?
We're joined by Max Rex. Max used to be part of P4A. He's now moved on to other pastures. Max, it's great to see you here. How are you enjoying the conference?
Thanks, Owen. Yes, I've been having a great time here. I'm now here with my company Embeo, and we were here to give a presentation on sustainable access for cell and gene therapies as we move away from orphan diseases into larger diseases and some of the associated challenges that the industry is going to have to face when that comes to pass, as well as my boss Hervé was conducting a roundtable on equity pricing in some particularly low and middle income countries. And I think that's a particularly interesting question at the moment, given all the focus at this conference, naturally focusing on some of the more major markets.
How was it received?
I think it went quite well. No, we've got some interesting questions and feedbacks and conversations afterwards, so it seems to have gone well.
Sounds like you've had a great conference. Any other highlights?
I've really enjoyed lots of the conversation centering around the patient experience and the patient involvement. I heard some really fascinating and interesting and even emotional testimonies from patients, and it's refreshing to have that focus and not solely be talking about financing and some of these, you know, industry trends, but more to get back to first principles and what's really important.
That's fantastic. Max, thanks so much for your time. Have a great rest of the conference.
Next, we'll be speaking to Stefan Fiers, Head of Corporate Communications, Public Affairs and Patient Advocacy at Takeda in Belgium. Stefan's presented on how to drive the policy agenda to speed up diagnosis for rare disease patients.
Hi. So we're joined by
Stefan Fiers
from Takeda. We've just attended a session on timely access to diagnosis for rare disease patients. So Stefan, tell us a little bit about yourself and why you're attending the World EPA conference.
Well, I'm the head of corporate communication, public affairs and patient advocacy for Takeda Belgium, also involved in some projects at the European level. And I really like the conference because it brings people from the payers, from the authorities, from the industry together, reflecting upon better ways, how to optimize treatments, putting some challenges also on the table and discuss and have this unique opportunity to to meet, to talk to each other in a collaborative mood, which is often different if we go to individual reimbursement files or whatever, because then obviously we are in a different setting.
Absolutely. And how are you enjoying the conference so far?
It's great. It's a wonderful conference. I really like to meet all these people from different systems, and it's super well organized and interesting speakers. And even if sometimes the topics are not really top line in what I'm daily covering, I mean, it broadens up your mind and it broadens up your perspective. So a great conference.
Has any presentations really stood out for you here? Is there anything you've been to and seen, you think, actually, that's really powerful, it's really inspiring, and have you taken anything away from that?
Well, if I look to the session today, I mean, if you see how a company does, the other presentation was really on a company doing all kinds of things to bring compassionate use program, to bring a product to patients, which is still in development. And then I say, this is the mission of a pharmaceutical company, and this is really great to hear this. And obviously, what is always touching is to hear patients. I mean, a patient testimonial just a minute ago, that was really, really touching, because then you understand why we are doing all these efforts and who we are working for.
Absolutely. And last question, if you had a magic wand and you could change anything within industry, what would you change?
That's a very, very good one. It's more the collaborative mood, and that people from the authorities, from the industry, really listen to one another, but in a constructive way and not in a defensive way, and really trying to move the needle for patients, because ultimately it are the patients that we need to serve.
That's brilliant. Thank you so much for your time today, and I hope you enjoy the rest of the conference.
I will. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Lastly, we are joined by Yele Klein, Global Head of Scantia at CIFI, and Juliette Sinclair-Spence, a patient and a patient advocate. They presented on early access programs and are they possible in ultra-rare acute diseases requiring urgent treatment. So hi, today we're joined by
Juliette from the AKI Foundation.
And Yele Klein from CIFI.
Thank you guys. So tell us a little bit about yourselves and why you're attending the World EPA Conference.
I'll start. Hi. Well, I'm original from Venezuela, but I live in the Netherlands. And because I went through an eye rare disease, that is contact lens users come in contact with water. So that's how I got it. And the name is difficult to pronounce, which is acantamoeba keratitis, also known as AK. I decided to become a patient advocate, create a support group, and also create the first worldwide foundation about this rare disease.
Thank you so much. And Gerald, how about you?
So I'm here at the World EPA as the global head of acantamoeba keratitis working at CIFI. And in this role, I'm managing the team who is driving the development, the manufacturing, approval, reimbursement, and commercialization of the first approved product for acantamoeba keratitis. And, you know, I've been working with quite a few orphan drugs across my career. And I hope to be able to do that for a much longer time still to come, because I think in this role, you can be, as a single professional, you can have the biggest impact on people's care with a rare disease. And this is my motivation. And I think when you look at orphan diseases, one of the biggest hurdles is to make it accessible for all patients that have the disease and to find people that have this disease quickly and make sure that they are properly diagnosed. And this is why I go to the EPA, to make sure that I'm up to date and I learn from my colleagues. I learn all the new regulations and get inspired from successful stories.
Thank you so much. And tell me a little bit about your presentation. What was it about? And what were the key takeaways that came out of that presentation?
So at the presentation, we from CIFI presented our experience with an early access program for our product in the treatment of acantamoeba keratitis. But before we started with this presentation to present the very technical procedures and all the failures and learnings we've had, we opened up with an interview with Juliette to really get the audience into the right mindset to understand what patients are going through, that you need to be really quick with this disease in order to both diagnose but also initiate treatment in order to hopefully at the end recover fully the quality of vision, requiring no transplants, and get a cure as quick as possible. And this is essential, and this is difficult when you match this with an early access program, which is obviously very regulated process where you're dealing with an unlicensed product and you have to comply with a lot of rules and regulations which require time to fulfill. And we brought this to the audience that we had a mismatch in ambition and realization of the project, but we found some ways to be successful in the end and changed our paradigm in one country, in Italy, including in 3 months, many more patients than we had done in the first half a year that the program was open.
That's brilliant. That's really good stuff for you guys. And Juliet, from your perspective, obviously you're speaking from that patient side. Tell us just a little bit about your story, how you ended up with this disease and what's happening now at the moment. Are you getting treatment? What's available for you? And what are your real challenges at the moment?
Well, I got the disease in 2017. It took 2 weeks to be diagnosed correctly, thanks to a confocal scanner. And 2 weeks later, because the treatment was not working, I ended up having an emergency cornea transplant. But what you need to understand is I got the parasite 6 months earlier swimming with my contact lens. And they went into the sleeping mode, as I always call, and then they decided to wake up. I do call myself lucky compared to other AK warriors, because that's how we call each other, all patients. Because I'm in the Netherlands and I end up falling into the best hands of a cornea specialist. And they want to put a steroids injection in my eye because inflammation was extreme. But the problem is if you put steroids in the eye, it's food for the parasite. So instead of helping, you're damaging the process. The disease is excruciating, debilitating. It's the worst pain ever in my life. You want to put a fork in your eye and pull your eye. And is you hide in a room, in a dark room. You're no person. You don't know when your life is going to get back on normal. You don't know what's normal anymore. And you feel lost, depressed, powerless. It's horrible. And once again, I was lucky because thanks to the emergency cornea transplant, it turned out being 6 years later today, I was coming out of the hospital with the cornea. So I'm still honoring that cornea. And based on that, what I saw and experienced, I met more people going through this journey thanks to the Facebook group. And you could see that worldwide, every country has a different approach. There is no standardized protocol for acanthamoeba keratitis. So it's based on the experience or the literature the doctor has read that they try to treat the eye. And you could see how many people are suffering with this approach. Also, it's being misdiagnosed 80%. And as Yella mentioned, this disease, look, is not only going blind and or maybe end up having a cornea transplant. There are people losing their eye, having to take the eye out. So it's a devastating eye disease that it can be prevented. And that's one of the reasons why I want to raise awareness with the foundation about contact lens users. No water with contact lenses. So let's say the contact lens manufacturers, if they could help put a no water label and educate, there will be a huge difference. Yeah. Medical communicator, how to correctly diagnose it and avoid a misdiagnose, and that we get the right pain management because people are not understanding the pain we are in. So there's a lot to do. And one of the reasons why I am here at the, I call it EPA in Spanish, sorry. is because I wanted to understand how things work from all the stakeholders involved in the process of an orphan drug, from the development to the market, bringing the drug to the market. How does it work? Because as a patient, you don't see that world. So you just want to understand it. So that was the reason.
Every country's got their own healthcare systems. Very, very, very difficult to manage those. So you said you were diagnosed actually within 2 weeks. That sounds quite fast. What's a typical time to diagnosis for your AK warriors, as we call them?
You have people that's been diagnosed within 1 day or two, and you have people that have been diagnosed in 1 year or two. It can go in weeks, it can go in months, it can go in years, sadly, because this eye disease looks very similar to herpes. So doctors automatically, they do not have in the radar AK because it's rare. it's not happening.
I've never heard of it, never. My mum wears contact lenses, never heard. Don't go into water with contact lenses. I'll be phoning her after this podcast, telling mum, make sure you keep away from water. So was it bath water? Was it kind of a swimming pool?
Look, you're not allowed to shower with contact lens. You're not allowed to swim really? With contact lens. You're not allowed to store your contact lens in water, wash them. You're not allowed to touch them with wet hands from water. Even if you in the garden and the soil is humid and you're doing garden and if you're wearing contact lens, you better wear protective glasses. If you have air conditioner, you better watch out because the moisture of the air conditioner can also, because what you need to understand is the contact lens is plastic. So it works as a sponge. So the moment the water comes in contact with the contact lens, it absorbs the water and sorry for the explicit description, but then you have the little parasite finding a little hole in your cornea, jump eating inside and having fun while you're suffering. So,
oh my gosh, it just sounds absolutely awful, Julia. And you describe it so, so well. My gosh, aren't the AK Warriors lucky they've got you on their side and fighting for them? We're all lucky. Thank you so much for that. So just let's move on a little bit. Just talking about the conference in general, what's really stood out for you presentation-wise? Have you learned anything at this conference? Has anything really stood out to you from that patient perspective, but also from the industry side, from you, Jelly?
So unfortunately, I haven't visited all the sessions I would have liked. Maybe this was also a disadvantage of having the Congress in my hometown. And then, trying to juggle home, kids, Congress, work. But the ones that really stood out to me were actually the very first one, the keynote session at the very beginning. It was setting the scene really well. And in general, the sessions in the rare disease track, I really enjoyed. And those in the evidence generation track, where they address topics that I currently have a great interest in, that I'm working on or struggling with. Patient participation is also a topic I'm somewhat gravitating towards. But particularly one session, I believe, was on early patient data generation in clinical trials. It was very interesting. You know, I always try to get, at this moment, learnings on how to locally have early access to medicines in the most convenient way, but that helps patients as quick as possible. That could help me be more effective in what I would like to achieve.
Brilliant. So at least you took some learnings from that conference, which is great. What about you, Juliet? What stood out for you?
Well, for me, I must admit that I felt lost with the vocabulary and the terminology. I felt I was going to a master degree at the beginning because I was completely not understanding the word, but afterwards I managed to. But as Jella also mentioned, I try to be at every presentation regarding rare disease, so try to understand it. But also, as he mentioned, the presentation from Christopher Gratzer, I don't know if that's pronounced correctly, from the Janssen Pharmaceutical Company, that was regarding patient perspective in decision making. I mean, that was my first experience, and I was like, whoa, I'm in the right place, because for him, he really touched the importance of patient voice and about the caregivers. So for me, that was like, okay, I'm in the right place if we're going this direction.
Yeah, perfect. All right, so we're gonna change it up a little bit. This is a really difficult question, and a lot of our guests actually struggle a little bit to answer this one. There's so many different things they'd like to change, and it's really hard to pinpoint one, but I have to ask it to you guys. So I'll start with you, Juliet. If you had a magic wand, what change would you like to see within industry?
Patient empowerment. Create a new path for partnerships between the patient advocates, academia, companies, public agencies, as well as to deal with the conflict of interest. Because what we saw is everybody's talking about, yes, we need to involve the patient, but we have the conflict of interest. So we're promoting something, but there is something that is stopping us. We patients are the expert when it comes to experience the disease. It's not about what the literature says. It's about what we feel, struggle, the aftermath, and the consequences. So let us be a key value, be heard and respected within all the stakeholders involved in the process.
I think you summed that up really well there. Anna, what about you?
So for me, actually, I'm a big fan of value-based healthcare. So if I were to swing my magic wand, I hope to see in future that there would be more product development focused on true value for patients. And this can only be done with patient participation at the very, very, very beginning. This way, we will help improve personalized care for everybody. This is what we all want if we, in the end of the day, are a patient, while creating also the most value across all stakeholders, because you will make a doctor more efficacious in treating their patients. You will make a healthcare system more affordable because they only treat patients with what truly matters. I don't know how we will in the end get there, but I hope there will be some changes that will support us to go in that direction.
Brilliant. Thank you both so much for your time. And is there anything that you want to share with us? Anything that you've got coming up that's exciting? Julia, any fundraisers, any patient advocate activities that you're doing, and also for CP, anything that's coming up that you'd like to share with us, please go ahead and shout it out now.
We just had a fundraising that took place on Tuesday during the event, and it was organized by a biopharma company, and I was nominated as a rare knight, so to recognize my work, and especially in regard to the rare disease. So Avanza Knight created this fundraising, and all the gains were going to the foundation. And happily enough, and surprise enough, we raised more than 5,000 euros. So
that
is really, yeah. I'm really grateful, because that gives us also space to go ahead and carry more professional tools to raise awareness. And for coming conferences, well, I already registered for the Orphan Drug in Barcelona, which
we'll see you there, Julia. We'll be there.
I'll be there.
Oh, that's amazing. I can't wait to catch up with you there. That would be brilliant. Absolutely.
Okay, that's
it. And it's
it.
Really, really, I mean, the EPA is good. The World Orphan is even better. I think you're going to really, really enjoy that and actually take lots and lots of learnings from that conference. It's a really, really good one. We go every year, and it's one that we really shout out. What about Fifi? Any exciting opportunities coming up there?
Yes, certainly. We have quite a few symposia coming up, creating awareness on acute amoebic keratitis and the advances in the medical care for this disease. Actually, Juliette will be there too. So I'm a bit, you know, disappointed that we were not making the list on her highlights for the next future events.
I could talk about it.
No. We've learned from the past that if you speak to a general audience, it's very important to put it in the right context. And I think generally believe that together with Juliette, we can do this. So at several symposia, we will be there together, opening the session, and then science will be shared, both local, but also on international conferences. Beyond the therapeutic area related conferences, I'm also considering to go to ISPOR, because we have some publications coming out on the health economics point of view.
And that's the perfect place to showcase those. I think we did ISPOR last year and presented a couple of posters there. So not sure if we'll be there, but if we are, we will make sure to look out for you and come and see you. So just want to say, guys, thank you so much for joining me today. I've had so much fun speaking to you. And actually,
likewise.
I think you've both been the best guests. I want to get you back on and give you your own podcast and some time. So listeners, these guys will be back with us. Stay tuned. I'll let you know when we get them booked in and when they'll be back. So really, really excited for that. Just have a fantastic rest of day, guys. And thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So that's it from us this month. Thank you so much for joining. We really hope you enjoyed this episode. Do look out for the presentations up on our website at www.partnersforaccess.com, and do stay up to date with our LinkedIn page, Partners for Access. See you next month. E4A, Let's Talk Rare, is brought to you by Partners for Access. To find out more about Partners for Access and our commitment to sustainable orphan drug and cell and gene therapy access, please visit our website, www.partnersforaccess.com. Make sure you search for Let's Talk Rare in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts, or anywhere else podcasts are found. Click to subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. On behalf of the team here at Partners for Access, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next month.